doing at Calvary Chapel, Lord. And oh, the wonderful things that are happening in that area, that neighborhood that we're going to work for you, to shine your light, to love people, to see territory taken for the kingdom of God. We're so thankful, Lord, that you've allowed us to do that. I pray, Father, that everyone in this church is involved in that festival, that outreach, Lord, the Harvest Festival. And Lord, we just are so thankful also for the good things here, for Harley being out of the hospital and you're still touching his body and healing him, Lord. And for Ron Arms, who there is in intensive care, that you're with him as well. And Gary, all the people we're praying for. And Lord, somehow, some way today, as you always do, would you help me teach your word accurately? Would you just, Lord, let me, I just decrease. I just want you to be here. And may every heart be open. Because Lord, we're not here because of religion. Father, we're here because we have a living relationship with the Lord of Lords and the fairest of 10,000s. His name is Jesus, our Savior. Oh, and how we invite you, Lord, into our midst now. You take over the service. You open the hearts of your people, the sheep of your pasture, and help me now. And Lord, bless those who are being baptized today. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Let's turn to Luke's Gospel this morning, chapter 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, there in the New Testament. And let me just read to you our text. It's found in verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke records for us, he says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village and welcomed him, a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who had also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Oh, Martha, Martha, you know, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.'" You know, as we're going through and traveling through Luke, you know, we're on the road with Jesus. Jesus, as we already know, he's going to Jerusalem. He's going to die for the sins of the world. So Samaria is behind us and the Galilee is behind us. And last week we left off with the Good Samaritan. So Jericho is now behind us. We come to a little town called Bethany, meaning house of bread, house of figs rather, a house of misery actually. And in that house, there 2 miles from Jerusalem, there's a family that Jesus loves. He loves everyone, but you know, Jesus loved to go to the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. So as he's going there, this favorite home, there's something that's going to happen there in the midst of this meeting. Now, chapter 10 has been a great chapter as we conclude today. We've learned how that we need to be and should be the ambassador for Christ. We've learned what it means to truly be a good neighbor. And then today, oh, sitting at the feet of Jesus, that's what I want to talk to you about, beginning in verse 38. "And now it happened as they," meaning Jesus and the disciples, "that he went into a certain village," and we know that's Bethany, "and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." So we have a contrast here in a minute between two sisters, the tale of two sisters, Mary and Martha. How would you react if you knew that Jesus was coming to your door, knocking on your door? What would you be preoccupied with? Well, you know, we look here, and of course, Martha, as we already know from other areas in the gospel, is a great servant. Martha loved the Lord. She was a hard worker, man, and she was a doer, always taking care of business. But the problem here is that Martha welcomed Jesus into the home, into her home, and then she ignored him. How would you feel if you know, you invited guests in, "Oh, come on in and sit down," and you didn't talk to them anymore? You just went about your business. Well, that's what she did. And it says that she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet. And what did she do? Heard. Say that with me. Heard his word. That is a key word in our text, because it doesn't mean she just heard the word of God. It means that she continued. She hung on every word. She listened. And that's the key word that we want to talk about this morning. She listened to what the Lord was saying, sitting at his feet. Later on, you know what we're going to find Mary doing? We're going to find her anointing the feet of Jesus with the fragrant oil, wiping Jesus' feet with her hair, preparing him for burial, his death. Now, every time, or I should say, the three times that Mary's found in Scripture, this Mary here, she's seen in the three Gospels, and she's always doing something. She's found in the same place. She's found at the very feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In John chapter 11, verse 32, we find Mary anointing the Lord, fell down at his feet, whenever Lazarus had died, and fell down at his feet and said, "Lord, you know, if you had only been here, my brother would have not died." So she was pouring her heart out. In John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 3, Mary, remember, she took the costly spikenard and she anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped it with her hair, his feet, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. So she was worshiping the Lord. In each of these three occurrences, there is a fragrance. There is a fragrance that some kind of fragrance. In John 12, it was perfume. In John 11, unfortunately, it was the smell of death upon Lazarus. But here, it's a smell of food because Martha is busy preparing dinner for everyone in the house. But look what happened to her in verse 40. But Martha was distracted, meaning pulled in different directions, running in circles with much serving. And she approached Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Let me ask you a question. Can you imagine someone, if Jesus is in your home and he's speaking words of life to that person, can you imagine going up and say, "You know, Lord, I need her," and just pulling her away from the Lord, away from being in his presence? That's what distracted people do all the time. They're so distracted that they literally pull others away. They don't mean to do that, but that's what they do in their life. And so she was so distracted, and apparently she had sat down with Mary, but she was just too distracted, too many troubles in her life, and she just had to get up and leave. Now, maybe you're like that this morning. I pray that you're not. But it's easy today in our society to be pulled in all different directions, isn't it? You know, you're getting the kids ready for school or your kids ready for college, or you're trying to find if you can even retire, or you're working two jobs. We're all busy, busy, busy. We don't ever slow down. Busy with doing. But loved one, listen to me now. If we're too busy to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear him, we're in trouble. And that's what was wrong with Martha. And look what Jesus told her in verse 41. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha," that's very tender. He's not mad at her. He says, "Oh, Martha, Martha, you are torn apart on the inside." May I say to you this morning, are you worried? That's what it means, worried. It means to be torn apart on the inside, anxious, anxiety. Do you know the Lord knows that about you? And the Lord loves you. If I had that kind of anxiety right now, you know what the Lord would say? He'd say, "Oh, Bill, Bill, why are you so torn up? Why are you so torn up on the inside, so worried?" And not only that, look what's happening with her outside. She's agitated. She's upset. She's vexed. It says, Jesus, "You're not only worried, but you're troubled, Martha, about so many things." Boy, that is a picture of our world today and a picture of so many in the church. And you know, I look at that and I say, oh, distractions. I don't like distractions. Now probably three cell phones will go off. But you know what I'm talking about. You're in your prayer time and you forget that you left your cell phone on, and all of a sudden the reminder of the meetings come up today, or you just received a text or three texts or whatever, and it interrupts you. So distractions, they're just everywhere. But the thing that we need to really see something is that distractions stole from Martha. See, the one thing that she needed was to put down the pots and pans, put away the spatula, and get over there and be with the Lord. Amen? That's what she needed. But her life was overflowing with worry and so forth, but her answer would have been found there at the feet of Jesus. What is worse than a heart that's so distracted and so worried and so troubled? Remember the parable of the sower. When the sower went out to sow, it tells us in Luke 8:14 that the seed fell among thorns, among those who heard the word of God. But they went out into their daily world to work, and it says they were choked with cares, choked with worries, choked with anxieties and so forth. Martha loved the Lord. She was a great servant, but she was being choked to death. How powerful is worry? How powerful is anxiety? How powerful are distractions in our lives? Well, in this case right here, they were so powerful. Jesus, the Son of God, was right there in her house, just a few feet away, and it prevented her from sitting at the feet of Jesus just to listen to his words. Not say anything, but just to listen. Boy, worry and anxiety, are they real? Absolutely. You can, when you worry, you feel it. When you're afraid, you feel it. When you're anxious, you feel it. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 12:25, anxiety, or literally worry, in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. 1 Peter 5:7 is a verse that I go to often in my life. Casting all of my care, all of my burden, all of my worry upon the Lord. And the reason? He cares for me. He cares for you. Everything that you're going through, there's not anything that he doesn't care about. He loves us. Psalmist has told us in Psalm 55:22, it says, cast your worry or your burden or your anxiety on the Lord, and he shall sustain you and never permit the righteous to be moved. I'm so thankful that God can handle any problem we have. Amen. And you know what we need to be doing is not looking at our problems, but we need to be sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to him and so forth. Well, Jesus told us in Matthew 6:25, he says, don't worry about your life. Now that's a big word. He didn't say not to care, didn't say not to plan. He said, don't worry. Don't let your life tear you apart. Jesus is right here with us. He's with us always. So Martha missed out on what Jesus was saying, but Mary listened. She listened and heard the words of the Lord. And look what Jesus says in verse 42. But Jesus said, one thing is needed, or one thing is necessary, one thing is essential. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. So Martha, certainly she opened up her home, but Mary opened up her heart. Listen, there are many things that are important in life. There, no matter how old you are, if you're in your teens, if you're 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and on the way up. Listen, every decade, no matter if it's the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, I'm going, we're all going to have problems. There's going to be many difficulties. There's going to be all kinds of things and troubles that come into our life. But one thing is needed, and that is never to be distracted from our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh, how we need to be with him. How we need to be with him each and every morning, or whenever your quiet time, whenever your prayer time is. And which means that we need to get our priorities right. See, the men, if you study out the Word of God, you find all those that went and they said, Lord, we know that we can't make it without you. We can't do anything. Lord, we just want to get our priorities right in this life. Remember the Apostle Paul? Listen to what he said in Philippians 3:13. He says, brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. That is a good word to us this morning, isn't it? But did Paul have a horrible past? Absolutely. He persecuted the church. He locked up Christians, men, women, and children, put them in prison. Oh, man. He said, no, I'm going to forget what's behind me. And listen to what Paul said. Listen to his priority. He said, okay, I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead. That word reaching forward is in the Greek is like a picture of an athlete straining with every muscle to reach a goal. In other words, Paul made a choice. He made Jesus Christ his one thing. What would happen if we were just consumed with one thing, the Lord? Think about that for a moment. And that's what Paul was. And Paul chose the good part that would never, ever be taken away from him. So in verse 42 again, one thing is needed, Jesus said. Mary has chosen the good part that it'll never be taken away from her. Do you see those three words? Mary has chosen. This is so important this morning because Mary, have you noticed? Mary hasn't said a word. Only Martha is the one that's been talking. Mary is our silent example as we look at this morning. And here's what I've learned in the 45 years I've been alive. Okay? Come on. Grant me some grace this morning. If you knew how bad my allergies were right now, I want to take a drink of water so badly. All right. I'll play the violin when the service is over. Here's what I've learned in my short life, is that right priorities don't choose me. No, I have to choose them. And boy, we have to say, oh, Lord, that's right. You know, listen, they're a choice. And the good part here, this good part that Jesus is talking about, what is he saying? He's saying nothing is better than what Mary chose, to sit at the feet of Jesus and to listen to God's word. I'm going to ask you a question. When, and with all sincerity now, when is the last time that you got quiet before the Lord? Oh, I know that we pray. I'm not talking about praying. I'm talking about listening. When is the last time that you just listened in the stillness, in the quiet? You shut everything out. You said, okay, I know there's distractions. I know there's troubles. I know this world is falling apart. But you know what? I'm shutting the door. I'm turning off my cell phone. I'm taking the phone off the hook, whatever it takes. And Lord, I'm just going to sit before you now. And I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen to you. Lord, speak to me. I've had my prayer time. I've been alone with you. I love you. Lord, speak. Is there anything you want to share with me? Do you believe the Lord still speaks to us? Amen. Absolutely. Jesus said, my sheep, they hear my voice. I know them. They'll not follow another but me. No, listen, we can, you know, people say, well, we don't need to hear the voice of the Lord today. Well, really? You know, you said we have the will of God. Yes, we have the known will of God right here. But the unknown will of God is not found here. Amen? Sometimes God has to speak to us in that stillness and so forth. You know, listen, that is so vital that we understand that in our hearts. So did you ever just stopped and listened to the Lord? You remember what Jesus told us in Matthew 4:4 whenever he was defeated the devil there in the temptation scene? He said to the devil, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every what? Word that proceedeth from the mouth. Meaning God speaks. That means we need to listen. But we live by how? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Listen, that good part is what's so needed. See, what feeds the soul is more important than what feeds the body. I mean, I like a good steak like everybody else, but the fact is that's going to sustain me for a little while. But the Word of God will sustain you in eternity, amen, forever and ever and ever. So one thing is needed here that we can't do without, and that's the Word of God, and that's sitting at the feet of Jesus, and that is a choice. See, you say, well, Bill, I'm under grace. You know, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I love the Lord. But, well, you know what? We don't have to pray. We get to pray, amen? We get to sit at the feet of our Lord and so forth. Now listen, if you're not spending time alone with God, alone with Jesus, with the Word, here's the problem then. You're just living on bread. That's it. You're not living on God's Word, you're just living on bread. And the thing is, where Jesus said, man shall live, not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We might as well change that word live to the word exist, because that's all that we're going to be doing. Now listen, when we sit at the feet of Jesus in our quiet time, whatever quiet time it is, early morning, late evening, whenever it is, something happens to our feet. Okay? Remember what the Word of God says in Psalm 119, 105? It says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If we don't sit at the feet of Jesus and hear the Word of God, you know what's going to happen? I know. Our feet, will they lead us into trouble? They'll always get us in trouble. We'll run here, run there, worry about this. Listen, we live in a dark world and we need the Word of God, because it's a lamp. It's going to lead us. It's going to guide us. And we'll never see clearly unless we're into the Word of God. And may I say something to you? Not to depress you today or make you worry or give you a horrible word or so forth. But the truth is this. Our world is not getting any better. Our world is getting darker. And I tell you, you know, and that's what's so important about sitting before the Lord and listening and say, Lord, what's coming? You know, we don't know the condition really of our world right now. It's darker than it has ever, ever been. And we don't know what's happening behind the scenes, but God does. And how, that's why we need to stick close to the Lord and know. That's why he said here, he said, oh Mary, you've chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. So listen, what Mary chose will never be removed from her, never be taken away from her ever. The word of God is ours forever, isn't it? Oh, that's so good to know. And you know, the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:25 about the eternal word of God. It says, the word of the Lord endures forever. Jesus said, he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The words of our Savior will outlast everything, even the universe that we live in. Now listen very carefully. This morning, I want to make three applications in the time that we have about listening to the Lord. You know, I have to say that in my younger days, I just pray, and I didn't listen a lot because I didn't know that I needed to listen a lot. You understand? I just figured I'd done my duty. I'd prayed to the Lord. Lord, I've gone through my journal, I've my devotional or whatever, and I've written everything down, and I've had a quality prayer time, and now my day is starting. But I never stopped in my younger days just to listen. After my prayer time was over, do you think that maybe God might want to say something to you? Have you ever thought about that? In other words, you've done your prayer thing and you don't even think the Lord's going to say anything to you. I remember, you know, and the reason we don't think that is we don't really believe sometimes the Lord is listening to us. You know, it's like I told the first service. I said, you know, I remember years ago I was there on the bed at night and it was two or three in the morning. And I was praying to the Lord. Everyone was asleep in the house and I was just worshiping and really praying to the Lord and talking over issues and things and really just complaining and telling him my needs, to be honest. And then this storm came in and man, it was, boy, thundering and lightning. And so I went and opened the drape of the bedroom and looked outside because the trees were just whipping like this. And I went, oh my gosh. And I went back to bed and started praying again. But right before I started to pray again, the voice of the Lord spoke to my heart and said this, don't ever do that again. And I was thinking, looking out the window, what did I do wrong? You know? And then I realized that the Lord was saying, you were right in the middle of praying to me, and I was listening to you. I heard everything you said. You were having intimacy with me. We were having fellowship with one another, and you didn't even know it, did you, Bill? You didn't even know that I was right there, and every word you said, I heard. And in the middle of your prayer, you just get up flippantly and just go out and look outside and then come back and like, God, wait on me. I'm going to go check something out. Are you listening to me? Listen, God hears everything you say. He knows everything you think. He loves you. He wants you. He wants to be intimate with you. And you know, if there's anything that the 21st century church needs today is to be intimate with our Savior. And we're so intimate with the world and the things of the world when we need to be intimate with Him. So let me make three quick applications this morning. I want you to what we're studying. I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, into the New Testament to Colossians chapter 3, talking about this good thing that we need to have, this good part, choosing this good part, and so forth. Colossians chapter 3, talking about sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now watch this. It says, if, or literally it should read, since then you were raised with Christ, and we were raised with Christ. In other words, when Christ died and was raised, we died with him and was raised with him as well. And look what he tells us to do now. If you're raised with Christ, if you're born again, if you're a believer, he says, seek those things which are above. The word seek means to keep seeking. It's a choice to go after it continually over and over and over, those things which are above. Why? Well, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Now listen, if we as Christians, if we don't sit at the feet of Jesus, if we don't seek things above, I'm going to tell you what, we'll never live above this dark world, okay? We're just going to go through it, but we'll never live above it. Now listen, here's what you need to see about this. We are, when it says to seek those things which are above, it's not saying seeking heaven. That's not what the verse is speaking. It's speaking about seeking a person. It says where Christ is. when we go through the throne room, when we go to the place, the throne of grace, seeking and finding that mercy and grace and help in time of need and where we can obtain it, you know, God says, listen, sit at my feet after your prayer time and just listen. And you know what? When you go there, you know what you're going to find at the throne of grace? You won't find one self-help book, okay? I'm not trying to beat anybody up about self-help books, but there's not any formulas there, you know, or antics. Here's what you're going to find. You're going to find the Savior. You're going to find the friend that sticks closer than a brother. You're going to find the Redeemer, our healer. You're going to find perfect forgiveness. And not only that, you just may find out the plan of God, the unrevealed plan of God. I mean, you can't look in the Bible and say, okay, Lord, am I going to be a school teacher? Do I need to be a school teacher? Do I need to marry the blonde or the brunette? I mean, what do I need to do? No, it's not in there. Amen? Amen. And all of a sudden the Lord impresses on your heart and you just know in your heart, this is what you're doing. Why? Because you're listening to the Lord. When you go to the Lord, He has all wisdom. Everything you need is found right there. Now listen, whenever you seek things above, things below are added to you. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first, that's priority, a choice. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and, pardon me, and all these things will be added unto you. What things? The things that we need. He's talking about the things that we need here, clothes and food and all the necessary things. So Jesus says, you need to seek me before you seek the world, because the provision of the world one day is not only going to fail, it's going to completely fail. Only the Lord is going to be able to help us. And not only that, not only do we seek things above, but look, but it says to think about them too. It says in verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with Him in glory. So only two places for us to set our minds. And whatever we set our minds on is going to determine what we seek and whom we seek. I tell you, we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. I think so many times, you know, the problem with all of us sometimes is that, you know, we're wanting God to like explode in our prayer time and just, oh man, it was a supernatural voice from heaven or whatnot. You remember in 1 Kings, I think it's 19, remember Elijah? You remember how all the things that were going on, and he told the Lord, he said, you know, I'm the only one left. There's nobody else that loves you, Lord. I'm the last of the last. And all of a sudden, the Lord took him out on the mountain there, and he was standing, and remember what happened. Then a huge, huge wind came through, tore down trees and all of that. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. And then all of a sudden, after the wind, a huge earthquake, I mean, shook everything, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And then a massive fire came through, but the Lord, it says, was not in the fire. But then it says there was a what? Still, small voice. The word still, small voice in Hebrew means a whisper. And you know, here's the deal. When we sit at the feet of Jesus, we need to be quiet. We need to be still before Him. Why? Because sometimes it's only a whisper, and that is the only thing you need. Amen? Oh, how important it is for us to know that in our heart. See, Jesus wants us to do something. There's nothing wrong with serving the Lord. We need to be doing that. But we need to serve, yes, with Martha's hands. Oh, Martha, great servant. But we also need to love and listen with the heart of Mary. See, the Lord wants us to put them both together and say, there's your example, do that. And listen to me, Christian. You know, there's a lot of Christians that all they do, they serve, 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 and then they burn out. Every pastor knows what I'm talking about. Man, you keep going, you keep going, you keep going. You're like that little bunny rabbit. You know, you never stop, and you're always answering the phone, and you're always going to this house, or you're always counseling this couple from this church, or wherever. Or you're taking this meeting, will you come here and preach, or whatever. You know, you have to get your priorities right, because you will burn out. See, you can't just keep serving Christ and not commune with Christ. Boy, that is deadly for a Christian. I mean, deadly. See, if you didn't commune with Christ this morning, I love you, not beating you up, man, but if you didn't commune with the Lord this morning, if you didn't have a quiet time, Bill, it's Sunday, it's my day off, day of rest, No, if you didn't commune and have a quiet time where you listen to the Lord, you're not prepared for this day. I want to know when I walk out of the house, Lord, you have anything you want to say to me? Is there anything else I need to know? Anything you want to impress on my heart? What am I facing today? How many people, Lord, are going to be here this morning that don't know you, that don't have a relationship with you? What am I facing? Listen, whenever you walk out of your quiet time, you feel secure in your heart. You know, you just, because you spent time at the feet of our Lord. It's so easy to be busy for Jesus and then end up burning out unless you sit daily at his feet and recharge. You know, I'm going to say something. You can take it as a word. If the shoe fits, wear it, guys or girls. Listen, if you're difficult in your home place and you're a Christian, usually the reason you're difficult is because you're not sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's because you're letting the troubles and the anxieties and all the things of the world cave in on you. Listen, aren't you tired of being robbed daily? The older I get, I'm going, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that anymore. And I'm learning for the first time to say no. Do you understand? No. I like that word. No. I'm not going to do that. But no. I mean, I've been practicing that word. No. I'm too old. I need a nap every day. You know, the main conversation in my home, did you check your blood pressure, honey? Well, did you check yours? Hello. You know what I'm saying? That's the highlight of my day. Mine was lower than yours, you know? No, come on. Listen, you've got to spend time with the Lord. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus wanted Martha to be sitting at his feet? Yes. There was the Lord right there. And you know what? The problem, but listen, let me say something else. He wanted Martha to sit at his feet and be quiet. In other words, to listen. That's what he wanted. You know, it's vital that we meet with Jesus every day. Sit at his feet. If not, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to be just like Martha. You're going to be busy, but you're not going to be blessed. And God wants to bless you. Martha was so busy, and so many Christians are so busy. They don't have time for the Lord anymore. They love the Lord. They believe in the Bible, but they don't have time for Jesus. They're just busy, busy, busy. And here's what happens. When we're not sitting at the feet of Jesus, we may not be hearing, do you hear me? What the Lord needs to say to you, what the Lord wants to say to you. You know, see, she was serving, Martha was serving, but she wasn't listening. If we neglect choosing the good part, being at the feet of Jesus daily, there's something that we're going to be missing. You know, to listen to Jesus speaks of a word that needs to come back to the church, and that's intimacy. Turn in your Bibles. I have two more applications, maybe 100 now, but I don't know. Turn in your Bibles to the Song of Solomon. It's the Proverbs, Ecclesiastes there, and the Song of Solomon, I believe. Look at chapter 5. I want to talk about this listening and this intimacy. Watch this now. Solomon chapter 5, verse 2. Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes right there, the Song of Solomon. Now, this is the Shulamite is the wife of Solomon, okay? The Song of Solomon also has to do with the church, okay, and the way God loves us. But let's look at this for a minute. The Shulamite says, oh, I sleep. She's a sleeping butt. Look what's happening to her. But my heart is awake. In other words, she's thinking about Solomon. How many times have we been on our bed and we're just thinking about the Lord? Clay alluded to that this morning. And he says here, oh, it's the voice of my love. So all of a sudden she can hear his voice. He says, it's the voice of my love. And look what he's going to do. Solomon, he knocks saying, open for me, which means the door is locked, okay? Open for me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one. I used that one on my wife yesterday. It was really good, guys. He says, for my head is covered with dew, Solomon says, my locks with the drops of the night. In other words, it's late. He's seeking intimacy. And look what she says. Well, I've taken off my robe. How can I put it on again? If I could add to Scripture, I would say the same way you took it off. You know, you put it back on. I don't know. Oh, look what she says. I've washed my feet. How can I get them dirty again? In other words, I'm worn out from the day. It's like Martha. All my troubles, I'm worn out. I just want to sleep. I want you to leave me alone and so forth. And then look what Solomon did. My beloved put his hand by the latch or the opening of the door because it was locked, okay? He couldn't get in. And my heart yearned for him. She's on the bed. She started thinking. He's knocking on the door, but he couldn't come in. And then in her heart, she's saying, oh, I love him, but I'm just worn out. And I arose to open for my beloved, and look what happened. And my hands dripped with myrrh, my fingers with liquid myrrh on the handles of the lock. Solomon, loved one, is gone. And what he did, he poured all of the myrrh all over the door handle and so forth. And when she touched it, it was just dripping there. It was a symbol of the fragrance of his love that he had for her. And here's the problem. Listen, we are better talkers with God than we are listeners to God. We really are. And I'll tell you, if there's ever been a time in the history of Christianity, the church, the body of Christ, that we need to pray, yes, but we also need to be listening. Listen, where our ears are open. He who hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen. It is so vital that we see this. You see, because what happened was this. He says, will you open the door for me? Well, this is a picture of Jesus talking to us. Well, she didn't respond. She didn't choose the good part, and it was taken away from her. And here's the thing. We need to ask ourselves this. Is the cost for intimacy too high? If you want to seek the Lord, if you want to sit at his feet, do you say, but it's just too much. Bill, I've got things I've got to do in my life. Man, don't you understand? I've got to be at work at 6:30 in the morning, and I work all day long, and I get home. I don't have time. You don't have time not to. Because that means your choice is wrong. Your priority is wrong. See, the church today is so troubled about so many things. Oh, and they're being worn out, and they're so busy serving. And yes, we need to serve. But the fact of the matter is that we're so worn out, we don't get up anymore, and we don't answer the door for the Lord when he's knocking for us. You see, when she opened the door, was Solomon there? No, but the fragrance was. And here's the deal. The church today that loves the Lord and he loves us, but we're so busy, we're just living off his fragrance, but we're not living off his presence. And what we need is the presence of the Lord in our lives, in our marriages, in his church. And the only way that that is going to happen is when we are intimate with him. And we say, Lord, I want to be here. I want you to speak to my heart. I want to listen. You see, we have to return. We're praying, but we have to return to listening. There's something that happens when we listen to the Lord. It's those things after the prayer time is over, where I find direction in my own life. You know, like, for example, about us going into the worst area in Fort Worth. I'd been in prayer over and over. As you already know, we were going to start a satellite church in another area and so forth, a very nice area maybe, because we have so many people requesting that. And as I was in my prayer time, you know, and I just quit praying, and I just got before the Lord, and I just shut my mouth, and I just lay there. And I wasn't expecting. That's the thing about God. You know, I wasn't expecting anything. And the Lord said, "Is God is my witness in my heart." I don't know how it does it. I don't know how we receive these things, okay? But here's the deal. He said, "Why do you want to go into the best area?" I said, "I don't know." He says, "Go into the worst area." I said, "That's an idea, isn't it?" That had to be God, because I tell you what, that wouldn't have been the devil. No, do you understand what I'm saying? It's when we get quiet before the Lord, and we've had our prayer time, that he's speaking to you. He's speaking to you. There'll be something that in your marriage that you need to do, wives, husband.
and you've prayed, you've been hurting, wanting to heal it, or whatever, and all of a sudden the Lord will speak to you. You weren't in your prayer, and you weren't expecting it. And then you go do what God says, and you go, it's working. Everything is fine. Why? You listen to the still, small voice. I tell you, that is so vital today. It's so vital to get alone with the Lord and sit at His feet. You, Bill, why sit at His feet? And we're going to conclude with one more scripture. Let me show you. I want you to turn. Well, you're already in the New Testament. Just turn to Ephesians chapter 1 very quickly. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 15. Paul's prayer here. Look what he says. Paul, speaking to the church at Ephesus, he says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, look what he says, oh, I don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, verse 17, and that the Lord, or the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom, the revelation in the knowledge of him. The revelation and the knowledge of him. That's not talking about, okay, I have all my facts in a row here, you know, the virgin birth, you know, the resurrection and so forth. No. That's not what that's talking about. It's this revelation of the knowledge of him is speaking of a personal, intimate, personal experience. And he says, oh, that the eyes of your understanding, your heart, being illuminated or enlightened. Here it is, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, of the inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of the power, his power toward us who believe, that's us, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, talking about resurrection power, and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, that's ascension power. Now here it is. Why do we go to the feet of Jesus? Watch this. Far above all principality, far above all power, far above all might, far above all dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Listen, let any name be uttered anywhere today and then when we're home. And there is not a greater name than Jesus Christ. Amen. Look at this now and look what God has done. And he, meaning God, has put what? All things. Listen to me. Think about it. If I said all things, what does that mean? It means all things. You don't have to be a Greek scholar to understand that. It means everything, totally everything. Where are they? Under his feet, and gave Jesus to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Loved one, listen to me. Why should we go to the feet of Jesus? Bill, isn't prayer time enough? I mean, do we have to go to his feet and just listen? Yes. Why? Because under his feet means everything, absolutely everything, everywhere, demons, the devil, life, death, whatever it might be. Your problems, my problems, the world, everything is under his feet. And that means he's in control. No. He really is in control. You say, well, Bill, I see a lot of junk going on. Well, yeah, it won't be completely fulfilled until the second coming. When Jesus turns over the kingdom to his Father, and when we see death eliminated and all the rest. But listen to me, I go to him and I say, Lord, I'm going to sit at your feet. I see it. I just do it. And I say, Lord, everything is under your feet. Everything. I can rest right here because I'm protected right here. I know that no weapon formed against me will ever prosper. I know that God, you're always going to be my rear guard. I know that you're never going to relax your hold upon me. Never, never leave me. Never forsake me. I know that when I come and sit at your feet, the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. And Lord, when you look at me, when God the Father looks at me, he looks at me as in Christ. Listen to me. The feet of Jesus. Every day after you pray, would you rest there? Just rest there. Close your eyes. Humble yourself and just rest at the feet, that stands over everything in all of the universe. Amen. That's what it's all about. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that we are a church that's, we're going to start listening. We're a praying church, Lord, but now we're going to be a listening church. After we pray, we want to hear you. Oh, Lord, we're going to listen to you. And one thing is needed, Jesus, like you said. Mary chose the good part, and we're going to choose the good part. Oh, and it'll not be taken away from us ever, ever, ever. Lord, we love you, and we praise you. There is indeed no one like you. And this morning, as our heads are bowed and no one looking around, let me just speak to you just one more time. You know what? If you don't know the Lord, if you've never asked Christ to come into your heart, if you don't have a personal relationship, you have feet. You come down here after the song, and there'll be people that'll pray with you, and you can ask Christ to come into your heart. Now, Lord, I just ask you to bless the baptisms. Bless all those that are participating in that, Lord. And Father, again, let us, help us to be listeners. Help us to listen to that still, small voice. Help us to know when to turn to the right and turn to the left. Remove deception from every believer, oh God. Let us never be deceived. Let us know the things that are coming. Let there be a new intimacy in this church with you. We love you. We praise you now. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we?